I'm Pastor Myron Dom. At Northmark Church, we believe the Bible is God's holy word, given to us from God for our benefit. God's word gives us wisdom, direction, comfort, and conviction. As we expound His word verse by verse each week, we hope to encourage and give you insight as you walk one step behind Jesus. Thanks for listening.
Take your copy of God's Word and open it with me to Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. One of the first duties of a parent is to name their child. I remember scouring baby name books and test driving all sorts of names and trying to convince my wife that Myron really is a great name for a baby. The whole process of trying to find the perfect name reveals a universal truth. Humans do not name themselves. Names are given, not chosen. There's an act of authority that occurs when a name is given. In contrast, one of the most remarkable things about God is that no one ever named Him. He tells us how to address Him. Let's recite the third commandment together. We find it in verse 7 of Exodus 20. Say it with me. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. This third commandment defends the honor of our God's great name. Unlike the first two commandments, He speaks this third one in the third person because He wants to draw special attention to His covenant name. In Hebrew, it's Yahweh. In English, we know it as Lord. Say that with me, Lord. Lord, that's His special covenant name. This was the name that God revealed to His people long before they ever reached Mount Sinai. In fact, before the Exodus, at the burning bush, Moses is approached by God, not really knowing for sure who He is. Moses says, please, tell me your name, and by what authority should I go and speak to the people? And God tells him in Exodus chapter 3, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. His name, Lord, is more than a name. It's an identity. And the Hebrews would understand this because when they gave birth and they named the child, they did so with a particular destiny in mind. They would choose a name that encompassed their desires and hopes and aspirations for their child, and they would give that child that name, trusting God to make it real and right. When God tells us His name, it's not just a label. It reveals His glory. His name is to be as revered by us as God Himself. The third commandment, like all the commandments, is both positive and negative. In its negative form, the commandment teaches us that we are not to misuse His name in a vain or worthless way. He does not want us to speak about Him thoughtlessly, as if we're not really interested, or we don't really care about Him, or He doesn't even exist at all. God's name has profound spiritual significance, and when we treat it worthless, it's denigrating to Him. It's as if we're saying God is worthless. The Old Testament records three different ways, at least, the name of God was misused commonly: in sorcery, in false prophecy, and with false oaths. In sorcery, it was occult activity where people would invoke the names of false gods, demons really, in an effort to get their own way on something. God told his people, you are not to use my name like that. In false prophecy, prophets, you know, would always start off their injunction by saying, thus says the Lord. Well, what if what they were saying was not true and instead was a lie? God said, do not use my name like this. False prophets used God's name to promote their own agenda. People still try to boost their credibility by claiming that God is on their side. His name has been used to endorse disasters. From the Crusades to the slave trade, from political parties to social causes. How can he be on all sides all the time? It's not right. Thirdly, God's name was misused as people made false oaths. They would try to prove that what they were saying was really true because they would invoke his name. I swear to God, I'm telling you the truth. But if they were lying and deceiving, then God is again having his name misused. In each case, sorcery, false prophecy, the making of false oaths, people attempted to use God's name for their own advantage. It still happens today. God says that those who do so will be held accountable. Although the specific punishment is not specified, he does say it very profoundly when he says that he will not hold us guiltless. That means he will hold us guilty and condemn us for our misuse of his name, because misusing his great name is a great sin. It's a direct attack on his honor and on his glory, and such attacks, he promises us, will be ultimately decimated by his wrath. Be careful to not misuse his name in a vain or worthless way. In its positive form, the commandment teaches us that we should instead honor his name in worship and praise, that his name should be on our lips all the time with sincerity and seriousness. Remember the Lord's Prayer. It begins, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The word hallow means to set apart for a sacred purpose. And that's exactly what he wants us to do with his name. When we speak his name, it should be in the context of giving him glory, worshiping him, and praising him. The scriptures teach us how to do this. The psalmist says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Praise be to his glorious name forever. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. The Bible teaches us to call on the name of the Lord. And we are to revere this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God. We're told to trust in the name of the Lord. I think the Apostle Paul summarizes it beautifully for us in Colossians 3 when he says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In the scriptures, we find a case study about commandment number 3 illustrated for us in Acts 19. It's the study of the 7 sons of Sceva. Try saying that 3 times real fast. Sceva was a Jewish high priest in the city of Ephesus. He was ministering there, and so was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul came to town and had tremendous success preaching about the good news of Jesus. Many people placed their faith in Jesus and were baptized by Paul. They experienced healing. He performed great miracles. And soon, others wanted to imitate Paul, hoping for their own personal success and notoriety. A bad motivation. We read about it in Acts chapter 19. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them back, "Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. As news of this beatdown spread throughout the city, something amazing happened. People revered the name of Jesus. A great fear came upon those people, and many turned in faith to this one Jesus, because in that experience with the seven sons, they misused the Lord's name and lived to regret it. But our Lord took that painful, bloody beating of an experience and turned it around for His glory in that city. He revealed a truth not only to the Ephesians, but to us today in the response to His name. It's basically this: I will not be manipulated by anyone, because the Lord alone has sovereign authority. He controls the use of His name. He blesses those who use it rightly, and He curses those who use it wrongly. So how do we dishonor His name today? The first and most obvious temptation is when we use it as a swear word. The preponderance of bad language in our media reveals to us how godless our culture has become. But it also shows us something. We can't get away from God. Whether in movies or music or everyday life, people can't seem to swear without using God's name. I was having a contractor at my home looking at a job, and within three sentences, he used the words God, Jesus, damn, and hell. And then he asked me, "So what do you do for work?" And I said, "I talk to people about God, Jesus, damnation, and hell." Glory to God. And a slow pitch opened right there in my driveway. Honestly, he wanted to talk about him. "Well, I have questions about God." And the whole thing just turned. And it was amazing to me that somebody who spoke so freely in a poor way was also searching for answers, as we just sang, that only His name provides. Why do people, when they really want to swear hard, always use God damn or Jesus Christ? I think it's because they really know deep down in their hearts they have a problem with Him. They're in rebellion against Him. Think about this. Isn't it true that our hearts are always revealed in our speech? Just hang around a person long enough and they will eventually let their guard down, and out of their mouth will come what they really feel. When people take the name of Jesus and they reserve it for when they're really mad and they really want to cuss you out, and then they invoke Jesus Christ as part of that curse, I think it reveals a heart that is dead set against Jesus Christ. It proves that he's true and that they know it and they're wrestling against him. Most Christians try not to curse, at least not out loud or very loudly or around somebody who can hear them. I won't tell that story. It's fairly common, though, for believers to use what I would call mild profanity. In fact, we don't even think of it as being profane until we read the third commandment. You might use these phrases. Phrases like, gosh darn it, oh my God, or by texting, OMG, what the heck, good Lord, I swear to God. Some will rationalize that these are manners of expression. But let's be honest this morning. It's just a more socially acceptable way for Christians to swear and to misuse his name. If these words are regularly on our tongues, perhaps it reveals more about the true condition of our heart than what we sing or say on Sundays. We dishonor his name when we use it to advance our own agenda. Christians are famous for saying, the Lord told me to do this. Worse yet is when someone says, the Lord told me to tell you to do this. Years ago, a woman came to me and said, Brother Myron, man in our church told me he had a dream from God that he was supposed to marry me. And I asked her, what did you say back? And she said, I said, when God gives me that same nightmare, we'll talk about it. God has made clear to us what we need to know from his word. But let's be honest this morning. It's far more entertaining or interesting or exciting to just get a thought from God and then combine it with a circumstance that just happened and then say, that's the Lord at work in my life. That's far more invigorating than the daily discipline of reading the Bible, committing it to your life, memorizing portions of it, allowing it to influence how you think, using Scripture over and over like a grid to define your life, explain your situation, see the future, understand what's happening in the present, resolve the pains of your past, all through the clarity of God's Word. That doesn't happen quickly. It takes time. It takes discipline. And it won't happen at all if you're not reading his word regularly. So many Christians just default to living their life busy, throwing up helter-skelter prayers here and there, and then looking over what's happened circumstantially, and then say, that must be the Lord, because it happens to coincide with what I really want anyways. Some will tell you they receive extra direction from God directly. He speaks to me and tells me exactly what to do on this matter. I want to challenge that, because a steady diet of extra biblical revelation will make one spiritually sick. Be careful to not simply determine your own agenda and then look for God to rubber stamp it in some way that you can tell others. Well, the Lord told me. Because when people pull out that trump card, the Lord told me. Well, how can we challenge that? So I'm challenging it right now because I want you to think biblically. And I want you to be careful because we live in a Christian culture in this country where people say all manner of craziness and call it the Lord. And you've got to be discerning. Now, there are times, and there are often times, when the Holy Spirit will prompt you and He will direct you. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, the Spirit is given to convict of sin, to comfort and to give counsel. So the Holy Spirit, if you're filled with Him, He will actively be at work in your life and you will sense inner promptings from Him. However, given our propensity to deceive ourselves, I would encourage you, whenever you have a prompting, do not immediately assume it's the hand of God on my life. Unless you can, number one, verify it by scripture you've already memorized or have read recently and understand. And number two, you're convinced it will bring glory to God. You can know God's leading in the moment. You don't have to do a Bible study every time you feel a prompting from the Holy Spirit if you can verify it by scripture and it brings glory to God. And if you cannot, reject that thought. It is not from the Lord. It is most likely a demonic spirit playing mind games with you. Let me be clear about this. It is very possible for a blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ to be toyed with by a demonic spirit intent on deceiving. Jesus was tempted by the devil himself. And the scriptures teach us that we must take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. That means we'll have thoughts that are disobedient to Christ. Well, where did they come from? Sometimes it's our own flesh, and sometimes it's an attack. I want to encourage you, take every thought and make it obedient to Jesus. Some of you believe lies regularly, and you've been doing so for decades. I'm ugly. No one likes me. I have these problems. I'll never overcome them. God doesn't care about me. Those are lies from hell. We serve a good, good Father. We are loved by Him. Our Jesus is able. But instead, many Christians lead defeated lives overcome with anxiety and anger and addiction. All the while, did not our Jesus lead a perfect life, lay it down sacrificially, and take it back up in victorious power so that we could have victory on this planet? It's a hard place to live. Bad things happen to us all the time. But that is no reason to misinterpret our God. He's a good, good Father. We are loved by Him. You see, when you're rooted in His Word, it helps you understand His view of you and your view of your life. And then when the devil comes toying by one of the emissaries, one of his evil spirits trying to mess you up, you can see it for what it is and reject it in the name of Jesus. Because at His name, when His name is spoken, the demons will flee. It's also tempting to misapply Scripture for our own agenda. We read a verse, we pull it out of its context. We hold on to it. We see some circumstances that we see coming towards our favor, towards what we want, and then we use it as a proof text for our own decision. It was all us all the time. Be careful with this. When this happens, we can become so confident that we won't even listen to wise counsel or spiritual authority in the church. Be careful with this. Whenever we begin to confuse what we want with what God wants, we are misusing His name. Finally, we dishonor His name when we use it carelessly in worship. When we say, praise the Lord, when we really don't mean that. When we throw his name around lightly, even humorously. Sometimes we fail to recognize his glory when we come here to worship. We sing about him, but our mind is wandering elsewhere. We page through the scriptures, but with no real effort to apply it to our lives. We join in the prayers that are being offered, but our minds begin to drift toward more pressing matters, like what we're currently worrying about or when we're going to eat next. Have mercy. If our worship is careless, insincere, distracted, if we are passive, disinterested, unengaged, we are dishonoring his name. It's not about the quality of the music. It's not about the interesting presentation by the preacher. It's about whether or not the name of God is being talked about. And when the Lord's name is lifted up, we should have a reverential and awe toward him. If we sit back and judge whether or not we liked it, whether or not they did it well enough, we're missing the whole point. And we are guilty of being careless in worship. Be careful, my friends. Whenever his name is lifted up, we should be thinking about who he is, what he has done, what he's doing now, what he will do in the future, and how glorious he is. Be careful to honor his name. Realize what the third commandment teaches us. What we do with God's name will determine what God does with us. This is a sobering statement. It comes directly from a sober statement Jesus made that I want to read to you. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said this. Listen closely, church people. Listen closely. This is Jesus speaking. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, his covenant name. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Listen to that closely, church. Jesus is saying that church people, preachers and missionaries and Christian leaders and singers and those that we know and people that call Northmar home, some of them will stand in judgment before God. And they will be condemned to an eternity in hell. How could this be? Because they violated the third commandment. His name was on their lips, but it was not in their heart. Search your heart today. Do you know my Jesus? Knowing about him is not adequate. Knowing about him doesn't count. The devil knows about him and will spend eternity in hell. Do you know him personally? And does he call you by name? Something else will occur on that day of final judgment. The name of Jesus will be rightly and truly praised. In Philippians chapter 2, we read of this. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess, say it with me, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. If this is the honor that Jesus will receive on that day, this is the honor he must receive today. He deserves that honor from you and me. Dear ones, I plead with you today, honor the name of the Lord Jesus. Do not break the third commandment. Would you pray with me? Lord, I ask that you would search our hearts. Our hearts, according to your word, are deceitfully wicked. We are able to deceive ourselves quite easily. We perfect the act of rationalizing. We perfect the ability to stay stuck in bad habits of thought. We cave in to mild demonic pressure. We give up and fall prey to lies. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Our tongues are not what they should be. Your Bible tells us that fresh water and salt water don't come forth from the same spring. And yet, look at your own lips. Blessing and cursing falls off those lips. Have mercy on us. Some of us have developed bad habits of using your name carelessly. Have mercy on us. Some of us, Lord, have attended this church for a long, long time. On the outside, we look like we follow Jesus, but in our hearts, there's rebellion still. And we will hear him say, "I never knew you." Have mercy on those today, that today would be the day where they turn in faith to you genuinely, Jesus. They put aside the embarrassment of admitting they've been playing church for a long time. And today they humble themselves and say, "Blessed be your name." Help us, Lord. Help us in our culture where so frequently we hear people denigrate your name. Help us to look him in the eye and with tenderness say, "Would you mind not speaking about my Lord like that? Please, I honor him and I ask you to respect his name." Lord, help us. Help us today. We need you. And I ask, Lord God, that we, as a church, we would honor your name. Every sermon, every song, every Bible study, every class, every event, every kids' meeting, from the nursery to the nursing home ministries, may all that we do be done to glorify and lift high the name of Jesus. Because it's your name that we need. In your powerful name I pray. Amen.
I hope this message from God's Word has encouraged you in your spiritual journey. On Sundays, we have an Inspire service at 9 a.m. in our fellowship hall and two Engage services in our sanctuary at 9:30 and 11. Come by and visit us. You can also check us out on the web at northmarkchurch.com or simply download the Northmark Church app to your device. We would be honored to serve you in any way we can. May the Lord give you an increased awareness of His presence in your life.